Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Inside the Ropes here on the main feed. My name is Kenny. I'm joined as always by Sandra, and it is the day before WrestleMania. Sandra, I don't know if this is controversial to say, I'm starting to get a little bit excited that we have a WrestleMania weekend ahead, even if it is strange and empty arena. Like,
at this point, I'm more just curious how WrestleMania is going to look. Like, I don't know if I'm overly excited for any of the matches. Like, and again, like, I'm a very casual fan of WWE at this point. I don't really watch Raw and SmackDown, so it's not like I am the most invested in these characters. But, like, I'm just really curious what it's going to look like, and I'm really curious what they're going to do. And we don't even know what matches are what night yet, do we?
No, so apparently the chat from Meltzer and Alvarez is that they are timing out the show today. So they filmed everything. They're timing it all out to just kind of and also kind of seeing what works. So, that's the plan. There'll be a 1-hour pre-show and then a 3-hour pay-per-view each day.
I mean, what even is the point of a pre-show at this point? Is it just going to be studio talking? Because they're not going to put like pre-show matches. Pre-show matches. Why? What's the point of that? Is that so that they can broadcast it on YouTube and get people to order WrestleMania? Is that why they're doing a pre-show?
Well, I think the idea is just like so they can put on like they can put like Elias and Corbin on the pre-show.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, I think that it's a good idea, you don't really need to watch the pre-show if you don't want to. I've heard from different things. There's something that's going to drop on our YouTube channel later tonight. I was about to say it, but it might not be out by the time this comes out. But, like, sources that we know say that, like, there's good stuff on the show. You know, because there's a lot of, like, I mean, like, for example, the Undertaker AJ Styles thing will probably benefit from being in a cemetery. If Michelle...
Oh, yeah, because then you can add shenanigans and it's a change of scenery and you can make it a little bit more... whatever a boneyard match is going to be, right? Like, you can just make it
spooky. If Michelle McCool Styles clashes AJ Styles, I will die. I will die laughing.
That needs to happen.
And then, the Firefly Funhouse match, that's going to be interesting.
Curious what that's going to be all about. I haven't really seen any of the promos. Have they been, like, alluding to the fact that it's going to be actually in the Funhouse? Are the puppets going to be there? Is it going to be, like, the House of Horrors?
All that Bray Wyatt said in his promo last week was that he's challenging him to come to the Funhouse.
I'm so excited.
Last man standing.
I want Abby the Witch to choke out John Cena.
And can Paige just play Abby the Witch finally? Like, just play it. I mean, like, come on. Aesthetically, that's what it should be. But we also have Edge and Orton in a street fight. That's going to be cool. I spoke to Drew McIntyre earlier today in a conference call, and he actually had a great tagline, which I think WWE should use. He was like, we've got wrestling in the ring, we've got street fights, we've got fun houses, we've got boneyard matches. He was like, it's basically WWE presents Mortal Kombat. I was like, it kind of is.
I'm here for it, honestly. I hope they go bonkers with it. Like, I want all of the weird production. I want all of the different, like, this can be variety show WrestleMania, and... I don't know. Like, we'll see how it turns out. I'm so curious. Like, I'm kind of excited for tomorrow to get here. What time does it start tomorrow? I should know.
7 p.m. Eastern is the time of the main show, 6 p.m. for the pre-show. So, and then we've got
I'm planning on watching it live. It's not like I'm going anywhere. So.
And then before that, you got to watch RuPaul's Drag Race with Snatch Game.
Oh my gosh, that's right. It's Snatch Game tonight. I'm so excited.
I think that the matches that are going to suffer are, like, the smaller matches that are just, like, a, like, Elias and Corbin, for example. It's going to suffer from people not caring about
them. Why is that even on WrestleMania this year? I don't understand.
Because they just want to give those two guys a spot. I'm not opposed to somebody having a spot if it's a match that, like... But, like, I mean, Elias and Corbin are kind of in that position where I think before you started watching WrestleMania, they used to do these like just kind of attraction matches. But it would be when like they had two big stars who like they needed to be on WrestleMania. Like they had.
Well, I feel like that's how they feel about Baron Corbin, though, isn't it? Like yeah. they have built their shows around Baron Corbin for years now. At least it feels like years. It feels like so many years. But I mean, they've been building their shows around Baron Corbin, so they see him as a very big star and very important to the company. And I think actually, like Baron Corbin is good, but.
I like him. I just
don't know that he is like the guy that they think he is.
He shouldn't be as sort of comedy as he is. Like he's a sleazeball, and he should be a sleazeball. But I mean,
I do love his King theme. Not lie, the King theme is amazing.
Oh, see, the theme he had before that End of Days was my jam all day long.
It goes into End of Days though, so you get like the of like being a king, and then it's like, hey, I'm also Baron Corbin.
But then I start getting into Baron Corbin, then it goes back to King, so it loses me. The example I was going to give was like in 2008 at WrestleMania 24, they had Batista from SmackDown facing Umaga from Raw because those were two big names. You know, so, or like, you know, WrestleMania 25, we ended up getting Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, which was really just set up by, you know, Shawn and Vladimir can fight in the winner faces the Undertaker. So there's been matches that have been kind of thrown together before because they just needed stars to be on WrestleMania. I'm just not too sure that Elias and Corbin fit that ilk. But
I feel like as long as Elias is around to sing a song, that's pretty much what you want to see him do on WrestleMania, right? Like last year's Elias spot was quite great. Like being interrupted by John Cena as the Doctor of Thuganomics, like that was a perfect use of Elias at WrestleMania. I don't know that a full wrestling match is what I want to see Elias do, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Maybe Baron Corbin versus Elias will be loads of fun.
Maybe it will be. I do want to give a quick shout out to Hulk, who's listened to this, my poor boy, who's going through an injury right now. It's very sad.
He's being very brave.
People who smash glass bottles in parks should get AIDS or cancer and die. They are the worst human scum. Like, they have no idea what that does to, like, when a dog's paw pad cuts, it is one of the hardest things to, like, get to heal.
Well, yeah, because they walk on it all the time.
So, like, and you can't stop a dog from walking. So, anyway. But, so we watched some more Empty Arena Wrestling this week. We watched NXT and AEW. Did you enjoy the shows any more than usual? Any less? Are you more acclimatized to Empty Arena? Is it boring you now? How are you feeling?
I think I'm getting used to Empty Arena, and it doesn't bother me as much as it seems to bother a lot of other people. Like, I know that you, I'm sure, were not a fan of NXT. I actually liked NXT more this week. I think it's because there were performers on NXT that I enjoy and I got to see. Like, I was very happy to see Dexter Lumis again. I got very excited for the debut of Jake Atlas. I wish that he wouldn't have gotten just, like, squashed and murdered around. Which is a bummer because I want Jake Atlas to be like the biggest fucking star because he's so good. I like Shotzi Blackheart a lot, so it was good to see her. I think the Gauntlet match was fairly pedestrian and not very good, but like I was happy to see her. So as a show, like it was fine. I really enjoyed AEW quite a bit. I think that having people around ringside again, like just having a few people to kind of comprise a crowd was helpful. I think that that's a good way to do it if you can. They had people pretty much, you know, staying away from each other. They weren't crowded in groups, so that was helpful. And it was interesting to see AEW in a smaller venue. Like seeing them at the Nightmare Factory was interesting to me. Because, you know, like they've been still filming in big arenas and it still felt like the show, and AEW has adapted again, right? Like they aren't able to be in Jacksonville, so they went to Georgia, and I think they adapted well to their environment again. I think it worked super well. I liked having some noise around ringside. I think that was helpful, but the Empty Arena shows don't bother me as much as most people. I think just because I'm like, okay, I just have to put myself in a different mindset. I'm watching a show and they're wrestling for me. So it's kind of up to me to react and provide the reaction if I'm going to enjoy this, right? Which sounds like work. And I don't know, like it sounds like more work than it is, because if I'm watching performers that I enjoy, then it's not that hard for me to react to them positively.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, I think for me, what was kind of fascinating about the numbers this week was that both AEW and NXT were down, which you would imagine they would be up because people would want some escapism. But I think that, like, I think AEW are doing it better. Like, I think that's just, by having those people at ringside, like, even having six wrestlers at ringside, I just think makes it more interesting. And, I mean, for me, NXT this week, the reason that it just didn't click for me was because I'm not really invested in any of the stuff on the show. Like, I'm not really invested in any of it. I mean, and then there was, like, you know, there was stuff where, like, you know, Shotzi Blackheart going kind of to the end of the gauntlet and then getting beat by Dakota Kai. It was all logical and it all made sense, but it didn't give me, like, any sort of feeling. And I feel like that would have been, you know, especially with Shotzi Blackheart, I think that whole gauntlet really needed crowd reaction because people would have got behind her more and behind her more. So that by the time that Dakota Kai finally, you know, thwarts her and stops her from getting into the ladder match, you know, you can feed off the energy of the crowd. And I think you are right. Like, they are kind of now, you know, you are now the audience. And my hope is just that, like, I mean, somebody came up with an idea, and this is more for WrestleMania, but you can't, I mean, you probably can't do it for weekly TV, but I think for WrestleMania, it's a great idea. So WWE has a lot of money, right? They can do whatever they want. What if they had, like, 200, like, TV screens attached onto, like, you know, something in the chair positions, and, like, 200 lucky fans got to be on Skype and they were the live crowd? And you heard, like, they're watching the show and they can react, and the reactions are kind of like, it's like there's somebody there. It's like you're playing to people. Which I know is very long, complicated, and drawn out, but it's just the fact that people are suggesting that is really showing how much the empty arena wrestling is not really working for people. And I think that, like, Terry Funk did an interview this past week with somebody, I think it was Sports Illustrated, where he was talking about his empty arena match with Jerry Lawler, like, in the 70s or whatever. And I think, like, when you have one empty arena match, it can really work because it's that's the unique selling point of it. But because
there's a novelty to it at that point.
Yeah. It's like, but it's, so, like, for example, I love mac and cheese. But if I was to have mac and cheese for every meal all the time, I would grow to hate mac and cheese. So, and I think with AEW, even have those kind of six people that are there, I think really makes a difference. You know, like, during NXT, if during Velveteen Dream, Bobby Fish, we had had the rest of Undisputed Era at one side, that would have been interesting. But you know, they're doing the best they can. I hope that there's a break maybe after the next week's shows. I know there's a go home order in Florida in the county that, you know, they can't run shows there. But like you say, AEW have now decided to move their operations to Georgia, to the Nightmare Factory. So maybe that move is going to be a payoff for them. I don't know if Georgia are doing the same thing, but we'll find out.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the regulations are going to be. I thought the ratings were interesting in the sense that, like, everything is down and people were surprised, but I'm not really even that surprised because it just, I don't know. It seems like with everything in life being disrupted, your routine is disrupted too. Like, you're not, I don't know, for people who just, like, go to work and then come home and watch the wrestling on a Wednesday night, that routine is disrupted for so many people right now. And wrestling seems to be, like, another thing that's getting through this. It doesn't seem to really be an escape because you can't escape the world when you're watching this show that looks completely different than normal, right? Like, you're not watching a normal wrestling program. You're having to kind of change your mindset and learn to adapt to a new style of programming. And that's fine. Like, I like I said, I enjoyed AEW this week. I enjoyed parts of NXT as well. But I think it's hard for people. And I think it feels like all of the important stuff is on pause. It almost feels like we're in the midst of, like, a really extended period of a UK pay-per-view where nothing is going to happen and everything's just kind of in flux and we're waiting to get back to life as normal. And so it's almost a reminder that things are still shitty.
Hopefully I mean, I don't know how long we're going to be in this scenario, but, I mean, so say it was up to you, right? Say wrestling came to Sondra and said, you have the deciding vote. Would you like there to be empty arena wrestling in this form until things pick up again? Would you like to see them take a break? Would you like to see, like, how do you, what do you think would be the optimum way for this to kind of play out?
I would probably say take a break because I don't know how safe it is for them to even be putting on shows in the abbreviated form that they're doing. Like even getting that many people together and touching and whatnot. Like I've been very careful about not seeing anyone because I'm like, I want this thing to get in control. Like I haven't seen my parents. I haven't seen, you know, anyone. One person came over to my house last week to file unemployment for her husband. And like, we were on opposite sides of the room from one another.
You've not given anyone blowjobs at the bar.
I'm not giving anyone blowjobs at the bar. I mean, honestly, like my routine is just so disrupted. So it's, you know, it's, but you know what I'm saying? Like even getting 10 or 20 people together to put on a show, I don't know how responsible that is at this time. And again, it sucks. It sucks a lot. I like having wrestling as an escape. I like having AEW. But I don't know. I think a break might be better for everyone at this point. Like it would be better for the wrestlers if people, you know, don't feel comfortable going out and stuff. Like, I don't know. It kind of seems like maybe taking a month off wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, it seems like that, you know, should kind of be the way to go.
And I don't know how television networks and whatnot are dictating that. I don't know what their requirements are going to be or if there's going to be any leniency for the most extenuating of circumstances, because what the fuck even, world?
It's, I mean, but even like today, like, you know, not to bring it back to me, but you know, it's about me, Sandra, I don't know if you know that.
but let's just bring it back to you for a moment.
Let's just, just for fun, let's just bring it back to me. Like today when Hulk, you know, when I had to take Hulk to the vet, to the emergency hours vet. So, like, you know, I'm a very protective dog dad, probably too much in some ways, but, like, when I took him to the vet, I wanted to take care of him. You know, I wasn't even letting him walk on the ground. I was carrying him. He's a heavy fucking dog. Mm-hmm. So we get to the vet, and, like, I'm not allowed to go into the vet. So I had to go around to the back and put him in a cage, close the door, and then they would go into the cage to get him and take him in, and then they had to call me and let me know what was going on. Like, that's the level of sort of precautions
I mean,
that are being
taken. Well,
yeah.
I mean, like, my 91-year-old grandmother went to the hospital last week, and, like, she's, it's not like she has, like, major dementia or anything, but she gets confused fairly easily because she's 91 and has had a lot of health stuff, and after a few health scares where we almost lost her, like, her brain is a lot fuzzier than it used to be, right? And my aunt couldn't even go into the hospital with her. So we were kind of concerned about her being able to answer questions about her condition when she had, like, fluid on her lungs and stuff. She doesn't have coronavirus. She was, you know, another old person thing. But, you know, like, that sort of thing is a concern, and it makes sense. Like, it is safer to not have visitors. It is safer to not allow anyone in, but it's also, it's really, really difficult. Mr. Saunders' cousin has a brain trauma right now, and they had to make a special exception for her husband to be able to come see her in hospital because she was getting really agitated and confused and not knowing what was going on. Like, this has widespread effects. Like, it sucks.
It sucks.
A lot. One of my friends has coronavirus. Did I tell you this?
Yeah, so is it mild? Is it bad?
It's bad.
It's
really bad. Shout out to Dan. I don't know if he's listening to this or not, but if you are, we are thinking of you and Jess, and love you both very much. But yeah, his wife got a fever 2 weeks ago. They've both been very short of breath. He actually has pneumonia now as well. That was confirmed the other day. So they're not in great shape. They're having a really rough time, and it sucks.
Yeah, just you got to do your due diligence and try and, you know, but I mean, you know, like for me, like my mum came over today. She's technically not allowed to, but you know, we don't hug or, you know, we just kind of, we're in a separate part of the room. But if she hadn't been there today, I wouldn't have had a way to take Hulk to the vet. So,
right.
You know, it's, I think as long as you're taking all the precautions that you feel that you can and that are, you're being safe then, but it sucks for wrestling, as we've noticed. But anyway, so let's talk about some of the big happenings in NXT and AEW this week. NXT opened with Velveteen Dream and Bobby Fish. We had Tom Phillips and Sam Roberts in commentary. How would you rate Sam Roberts as a heel commentator? We talked on Retro ITR about how I am a fan of heel commentators. I think I should amend that. I am a fan of good heel commentators.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of heel commentary, like, during the best of times a lot, you know, like even when Bobby Heenan is being very good, or even when people tell me that Jerry Lawler was very good at his job. I'm not a huge fan of someone just being overtly heelish for the sake of being heelish, because I don't need characters on my commentary as much as I want characters in the ring. That's just like a personal preference. I know a lot of people disagree with me. I think most people can agree that Sam Roberts is atrocious at being a commentator, especially when he's trying to be a heel. And he should never be invited back to the commentary table for WWE. This was terrible. I hated it. It was incredibly distracting and unhelpful in watching the program. Like, it's hard enough to watch NXT right now sometimes, and this was not helping at all. And though, I mean, I used to listen to Sam Roberts podcast. I used to think he was jovial, but since he's tried to become like a character in WWE, he's just become insufferable. And maybe he's a lovely guy. I don't know. I don't know him personally. But he is bad.
It's not good. So we got Velveteen Dream versus Bobby Fish. Velveteen Dream gets the win. They did good wrestling, but it just didn't captivate me. But I did like Velveteen Dream's post-match promo where he, but you know, it's, he was doing this post-match promo and he's talking about, you know, Adam Cole, and he puts his video games down, he'll open his third eye to what's about to happen. He's about to get worked harder than the Dream has ever been, has been worked before. And he was, you know, building up this big Velveteen Dream Adam Cole match, and in the back of my mind, instead of going, oh, I can't wait to see it, I was like, oh god, it's going to be in an empty arena, isn't it? Which mm-hmm. kind of is my new, like, I'm almost like hoping that they don't build any good grudge matches yet. Just keep
it, I know, because you just want everything. And that's the thing, right? I think a lot of people have tuned out of the stuff and they just kind of want to wait to enjoy it again until it's back to normal. They don't want to like see this abbreviated form of wrestling, which sucks. And like, no one can help it. Everyone is doing the best they can. It just sucks. And I think it sucks, especially for people like Velveteen Dream, who are so dependent on crowd reaction, right? Like, Velveteen Dream is a good wrestler. I think he's a good wrestler. I think Bobby Fish is great. But I think a lot of Velveteen Dream, what makes him captivating and what makes him interesting is his ability to feed off the crowd and give energy back to the crowd. And that's wrestling, right? Like, a lot of times it is a give and take between the performer and an audience. And Velveteen Dream doesn't have that at his disposal. And I don't think he's good enough at controlling the space to do it as well as some of the other people. So this match wasn't necessarily my favorite either. And I loved Velveteen Dream, but I think I'm still salty at him about the Roddy Strong Marina Shafir thing. So it's hard for me to like super on his side the way that I used to be. And then not having the crowd to kind of prop him up. I don't want to say that as though he's not talented. Like, working a crowd is another form of talent for a professional wrestler. It's, you know, what got Hulk Hogan over. Hulk Hogan's technical wrestling ability was never going to make him that popular. But,
well, that's like the whole argument of like the Hogan-Andre WrestleMania 3 argument, right? Like,
right.
If you think it's a good match or not, depends on, I guess, what you like. But with Dream, he's had a rough patch because he had that really bad, really poorly written Marina Shafir, Roddy Strong thing that kind of just died a death. And then they kind of went away from it, and now he's in an empty arena environment. It's bad, but
it sucks.
But we're building to Cole and Velveteen Dream. You know, you talked earlier about Dexter Lumis, and I like the idea of, like, I like that during his match with Jake Atlas that he, you know, brought part of the serial killer element into the match.
Mm-hmm.
But the comparison in my mind was like, they've not really managed to hit it right with Bray Wyatt a lot of times. I just don't know how they're going to make it right with a serial killer gimmick. Like, I would love to be wrong. I would love if he, like, butchered one of the wrestlers and, like, sent somebody a foot or something. Like, I'd love to be full crazy with it, but
I'm here for it.
I just don't know where you can go with it in a WWE environment that's so kind of sanitized. I mean, what a word of the day, but sanitized
right.
in its presentation. So I don't know how. I'd love to be wrong, because I think he looks, I mean, the last time I saw Sam Shaw, which he used to be, he looked a bit like a twink. And now he looks mm-hmm. like a 40-year-old serial killer, which is great. He looks like a character, but I'm just kind of fearful of how far it can go. Does that make any sense?
It does. Especially, I think the Bray Wyatt comparisons are apt because Bray Wyatt started out as this like incredibly dynamic character, and he never seems to have an end game, which is the problem with Bray Wyatt all the time. I like Dexter Lumis just being a spooky dude, like a spooky serial killer, whatever. Like whatever he is going to be, I'm here for it. I think he's great. I think his presence jumps off the screen for me. I just really like him. I remember seeing him in the it was the breakout tournament, wasn't it? When he was first introduced to us and then
Yes.
got beaten and shouldn't have. Who was it? Was it Bear Bronson beat him?
Yeah, Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed. Bear Bronson, I'm thinking indie. But yeah, Bronson Reed.
Wait a minute. Can we just take a moment to enjoy me scaling you in NXT for a second? That
I
never
know, right?
happens.
Wow. Yeah, I'm forgetting names.
The
Time
coronavirus
is
is real,
collapsed.
people. It's making Sona's NXT knowledge go down.
It's a problem. It is clearly a problem for me. But yeah, I mean, he got beat by Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed's fine. But you know, like Dexter Lumis was a lot more charismatic and a lot more interesting than Bronson Reed, I think, in that tournament. And Dexter Lumis is someone when he came on screen again for this week's NXT, I was like, oh, awesome. I'm really excited to see Dexter Lumis again. I'm just bummed that he beat Jake Atlas in such a convincing fashion. I understand that the point of the match was to make Dexter Lumis be a big deal. Always here for making Dexter Lumis a big deal, but like Jake Atlas is one of my faves, dude, and he's so good. Like, if you've never seen him wrestle, he's just so good. And I want the world for him, and I want him to be more than this. So I'm hoping that this is just kind of a okay, now you've been on TV, but maybe they'll make him into like a real person soon because Jake Atlas is so good, you guys.
I'm about to diminish him. I'm not. He is, whenever I see like DJ Accident reporting people putting across like LGBT wrestlers and stuff, he is the one name that I hear more than anybody else. So yeah, hopefully they give him something to do. Hopefully they don't give him a gay gimmick, because it'd be nice if like he was gay but had a gimmick rather than like that being his gimmick.
Well, because you've seen a Jake Atlas match, because you watched Jake Atlas versus Priscilla Kelly.
Yes, when you sneakily made me watch a Priscilla Kelly match, because I had to.
I was
But
like,
yeah.
she's good at what she does, and so is he, right?
Yeah, he'd be
Because I mean,
good.
I
I liked
love
him.
that match.
I mean, I think that he's here to serve a purpose in this. And whatever he does, I don't think it's going to make a difference. I mean, like, Bray Wyatt used to be in the new Nexus.
Yes.
So I think
Oh,
he'd
I
be
don't
fit.
think this is like killing Jake Atlas to death. I just hope it's not indicative of like they see him as like the way they see, I don't know, like Kayden Carter. Because I
Right.
think Kayden Carter's really good, but she's always kind of like the lady who comes out and doesn't really matter that much. Like she's always kind of used to build other people. And I feel like Jake Atlas is good enough to be other people.
Hopefully we see him again soon. What did you make of the Gauntlet match that saw Shotzi Blackheart get close and then ultimately Dakota Kai getting the spot in the ladder match?
I wanted to like it more than I liked it. I love Shotzi Blackheart. I think she's super cool. I think she's great. I think she just has such a great dynamic and a great look. And she, part of the problem though, is that Shotzi Blackheart is another one I feel like that connects with crowds so well. And then when you don't have a crowd and it's just quiet, then she suffers for that. I liked her running the gauntlet. I mean, like she beat Xia Li, she beat Kayden Carter. Who else did she beat? Like Aaliyah, I think. And you know, seeing her beat people was good. I really like the fact that they're building Shotzi Blackheart, but the gauntlet just kind of felt a little bit paint by numbers to me. And then when Dakota Kai came out, it was like, okay, well, Dakota Kai is going to beat Shotzi Blackheart. So I think they did everything right. It didn't seem to have as much life to it as I wanted it to.
We also would, I mean, we saw Kushida beat Joaquin Wild, but the big story, I guess, would be the kidnapping that happened when.
Yeah, Hideo Itami slash Kenta had a point when he's like, who's watching the parking lot? Because this is problematic.
I mean, so we see Joaquin Wild, after losing, is getting interviewed by Mackenzie Mitchell. And then, this SUV comes out of nowhere. And these guys show up in masks, and they kidnapped him. Sure.
They did. I mean, you know, I love a kidnap, so
Do you know
I'm
what I would
curious to
love?
see where it goes.
I would love if the SUV was TNA, and they are just like coming to NXT to try and steal back performers.
That brilliant.
And then they like grab, they grab.
Didn't TNA like kidnap Samoa Joe at one point and it never went anywhere?
They did, yeah. Showed up again a couple weeks later. Fine. the big thing for this show, I think, and I know that I am maybe in the minority in this, but like when I saw the main event was Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, and Damian Priest, that on top of Isolation about sent me over the edge.
They just keep fighting.
I never need to see these people fight again. Keith Lee.
They're all really good.
Keith Lee.
They're all really good, but they just keep fighting over and over and over.
The thing is, Keith Lee had the Survivor Series and the Rumble stuff, which has given him that kind of next level rub, right? So he's like, he is more of a character than the other two. Damian Priest feels like, if you know, a guy who comes to FCW and he's told, come back to us after lunch with a gimmick. And he comes back to us after lunch going, I'm a ladies man. That's the gimmick, essentially. And he's a bit gothy. Dominik Dijakovic, great athlete, know nothing about him, have no reason to care about him, but they're all very good wrestlers, and they can all wrestle well. But The only thing I could cling to, because I was trying, Sandra, I was really trying, was please let Keith Lee retain. And he did, so I was happy about that.
He did. Keith Lee did retain, and that was good, and that was the right decision. I love Keith Lee. I really like Dominik Dijakovic. Damian Priest is good. I don't know. Like, it was hard for me to get into this. It's kind of those triple threats for the North American Championship that are just full of good wrestlers that, I don't know, like, it all felt kind of strange, too, because they did, like, the crowd introductions, too, right? Like, even the ring announcement feels weird in this environment because I don't think that they're willing to adapt as much as AEW, where they're like, Keith Lee, silence. You know, Dominik Dijakovic, silence. It's like, why are you doing a big, grandiose ring announcement for them when you're not going to get any reaction? Like, you're leaving a pause for crowd reaction where there is no crowd reaction. What are you doing?
It's one of those things where I guess they think if we keep it, it's like we're doing the announcements and stuff for people at home. But when there's no crowd, it just looks silly.
It looks silly, and it feels empty in that way. Like, it reminds you of the problem.
Like a hollow shell. Like.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get any arguments from me, Sandra. I'm with you. I agree.
I mean, I thought the match was good. I thought that they did lots of good things and they did good wrestling. But I guess there was also no part of me that thought that Keith Lee was going to lose. I didn't really sense that his title was in peril. Like, if Damian Priest or Dominik Dijakovic had won here, I would have been like, what the actual fuck is happening? So, I don't know. Like, it was fine.
Yeah, the show just...
I enjoyed watching it enough. Like, it's not like I didn't enjoy it. I don't have tons of emotional tie to it right now.
Who does, Sandra? Anyway, so AEW was better. I mean, it wasn't. I think that all shows are suffering now. I don't think it's just an AEW problem. I think it's just all shows are gonna suffer. I meant to ask you, though. I've not asked you so far. What do you think of the announcement of the TNT Championship Tournament? Do you think it's good for them to have another belt? How do you feel about it?
I think it's good for them to have another belt. I think it introduces more storytelling. I think it would be really dope if they would spend more time, I don't know, like maybe having other women's stories instead of another men's belt right now. But, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I think that there are a lot of good people. And I like the fact that, I mean, there are a lot of like main event level people who are in this tournament, right? So I think that's positive. I'm looking forward to it, and I like the fact that they're starting to build it too on the show.
I thought they've said that they're going to have the finals of the tournament take place at Double or Nothing in Vegas.
They keep saying that, and gives me pause.
I currently, as of now, we are doing a show with Kevin Owens on June 5th. That is scheduled. We and Kevin Owens WWE all plan to do that. How I'm internally thinking about that is, you know, hoping that, you know, by May the 1st, we're going to have news that everything's looking to get back to normal and that we're good to go. With Double or Nothing, I mean, because also it's a different thing to have a few hundred fans watching a guy talk and meeting somebody to having 10,000 people in an arena. I can't see there being 10,000 people in a wrestling arena till the very minimum of August. And even then, I'd be surprised if it's before then. Because I just think it's like, I can't see them allowed. I just can't see it being allowed. I mean, there was a stat today that this guy that I used to work for, he's like an American guy who lives in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And he did this. I mean, I know that all the numbers are, you know, probably higher in reality, but he grew up in a place in mid-Missouri. And he, the county that he grew up in has a population of 42,000, and there was 1,500 cases of coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
But in Scotland, there's 3,000 cases of coronavirus in the whole country, and there's 5.4 million. So that tells you that in the States, there's like a bigger issue right now, and that it needs to be kind of...
Well, and it depends on where you are, too, because like Michigan is, I think, number 3 in the nation right now. Like, we have a problem. But most of the cases are concentrated around the Detroit area. So where I am, it's like we have, I can't remember how many cases we have in Kent County right now where I live, but there's been like one or two deaths maybe, which I mean is still awful because people are dying. But in the Detroit area, there are hundreds. So it's really concentrated in different places. And that's why, you know, isolation and not traveling between cities and all that kind of stuff is important right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, the idea that it can, I mean, because for you, is you're in Michigan, how much of a lockdown is there where you are?
They say, I mean, it's pretty locked down. The governor has issued the stay-at-home order. You're not supposed to leave the house unless it's for essential services. But I did, like, I took a small walk the other day to go and see my car, which is, like, in between shops, and we're trying to get it fixed. And it's a whole thing, which is really difficult to do with coronavirus. But the car, like, there are still cars on the streets. Like, I know I've seen like photos and videos and stuff from downtown Grand Rapids being empty, but where I live, which is kind of like on the outskirts of the city, it still almost feels like business as normal, which is a problem. Like, I just wanted to scream at everyone, like crowding at the gas station and like going to stores and all this stuff. Like, you're only supposed to be going out for essential stuff. But I mean, we're supposed to be on a lockdown. Like, I think you're supposed to have letters to like go to work and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, for here it is, it's lockdown as well, but I mean, America's so huge that you can't really judge America the same way you judge Scotland. Like, we're a tiny, tiny country, so like, mm-hmm. if you kind of shut us down, it's fairly easy to like contain it or to try and work on it. But because America's so big, like,
well, the problem is a lot of it is left up to the individual state governments, right? So, like, some states are doing more than others. Our governor's actually been ahead of the curve in terms of trying to get people to stay home and issuing the stay-at-home order. The stay-at-home order is in effect until April 30 now. Schools have been closed for the remainder of the school year officially now, which we expected was coming, but that came through yesterday. So, like, you're not supposed to leave.
But, I mean, the idea is supposed to be... from all the stuff that you read, because all you do is read about it now because it's everywhere, is that, like, I mean, May is a very, very, you know, lenient pick of when it's going to be ready. I mean, Meltzer...
May still feels very up in the air.
Meltzer today said that there's a guy called Dr. Alex Patel, who's a big wrestling fan. He's kind of working on the coronavirus, like, quite heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the earliest that he can see sort of this kind of stuff going back ahead is early July.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wonder how long AEW are going to leave it. Because, I mean, the tournament looks set, you know, the brackets are Cody and Darby, Colt Cabana and Lance Archer, Dustin Rhodes and, oh God, where is the bracket? I had the bracket a minute ago.
Well, and do you think that there's a possibility that they try to run Double or Nothing in front of an empty arena? I mean, it would seem insane for them to do that in Vegas because it would be so incredibly like expensive to run it in Vegas. Do you think that they would go ahead and try and do that?
I hope not. I mean, to me, the good thing about AEW, because they don't have a lot of stuff on, like they're just doing their, you know, it's not like they have three brands or anything like that, like WWE do.
Right.
But like, to me, the first live show that you do back should be Blood and Guts. Like, in front of an arena.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the good thing is, they should just be able to move, like, you know, all the plans they had, because they had Blood and Guts planned for March 25th, then Double or Nothing May 23rd. But now all the stuff that's supposed to happen at Blood and Guts should happen on the first show back, all the Double or Nothing stuff should happen on the next pay-per-view, and just kind of stall everything, really. The brackets are Cody and Sean Spears, Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin, Dustin Rhodes and Kip Sabian, Colt Cabana and Lance Archer. So you assume it's going to be Dustin Rhodes and Lance Archer and Cody and Darby in the semi-finals, which means probably a Cody and Lance Archer final. So, I mean, that'd be great, but again, in front of no audience, it would be problematic. I'm curious to get your take on this. What did you think of the Lance Archer Marco stunt match?
I thought it was fun. I get what they're doing. Like, I mean, putting Marco stunt out there against Lance Archer is just feeding him to the wolves, right? Like, I think that they could have used someone else here, but I understand what they're doing, and I thought it was fun. I thought Marco, you know, he's just such a valiant, adorable person, and I want him to triumph against the big bad Goliath of Lance Archer, and it didn't happen. And so it's like, oh, boo, Lance Archer, you are beating up tiny, tiny Marco Stunt, especially doing the Castigo Excessivo thing of, you know, refusing to pin him and pulling him up by his hair so you could do one more finisher. What a dick. What a dick that Lance Archer is.
I thought it was really good. I saw someone, I can't remember who it was, but somebody had posted something where they were saying that, like, Lance Archer beating Marco Stunt was, like, WCW bullshit.
Lindsay Kelk. I love and appreciate her opinions a lot of the time. And I think that it's shitty of people to gang up on her for this opinion. I disagree with her opinion on this.
But then in saying that, it's like, because I don't know the person, so I have no shade against them whatsoever. But I think it's one of those things, like, if you're going to go on Twitter and have a terrible wrestling opinion, that's fine. But, like, if people kind of respond to it, like, because I saw that she had responded saying, oh no, I've annoyed angry Twitter men. It's like, no, you had a take, and some people said they didn't like it, and I've tweeted stuff before where I've said something and people have been like, oh, you're full of shit. It's like, that's just what you get if you're in a environment, because what she was saying felt like a fairly uneducated wrestling opinion just from what it was. And again, this is me not knowing anything about the person.
Uneducated at all. She's been a huge wrestling fan for, like, her entire life. I think
in my opinion.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying, like, for her, where she's coming from with that is that AEW, when it was founded, said that they were going to be very progressive, they were going to be different, they weren't going to, like, use old wrestling tropes necessarily. I think that she's putting more expectation onto AEW than she probably should. But it is frustrating to see a company like AEW who touts progressive attitudes and inclusivity and all that kind of stuff have the shittiest women's division, and to hire people like Sonny Kiss and then just have him on Dark and he hasn't even been on Dynamite, even though he's phenomenal, and where the fuck even is he on television?
What you've just said is the educated opinion there. What you've just said, you're pointing out stuff that's not there. What this was a very clear thing of, like, people love Marco Stunt. Marco Stunt, from the day one in AEW, has been booked to be this valiant underdog guy. Like, that's his role, and he's great at that role. And, you know, by Lance, I mean, I didn't think he lost one thing here. I mean, even when he got a little bit of offense in Lance Archer, I thought that made it even better, because, like, the idea that, you know, he's not just somebody who's just going to get beat the whole time. Like, he did get a little bit in. And there's going to be a day down the line, which they're going to build to years from now, where Marco Stunt is going to get to beat somebody at some point, and it's going to feel huge because it took years to get there. So I think what you're saying is totally fair. And I think had the person brought that stuff up as an example, like, if they'd said, you know...
Well, if you know what she's been saying about wrestling for weeks and weeks and weeks, that's where she's coming from, which is why I'm explaining.
Okay.
Because I do listen to Tights and Fights, and I really do value her opinions. I disagree with this particular one, but in general, I value her wrestling opinions quite a lot.
And if the other stuff that you mentioned was what she feels, then she's right about the women's division and the Sonny Kiss thing.
And it's very frustrating. And I think for her, this just felt like another example of AEW going back to the old wrestling well of, like, oh, look at the big guy beat up a small guy. Like, in this sense, it worked for me. Like, I liked Lance Archer versus Marco Stunt.
There's got to be that mix, right, of being progressive and doing new stuff, but also bringing back old stuff that's not really used anymore that works.
Yeah.
Which I guess that's a balance you've got to try and... I mean, but the, you know, the Sonny Kiss
Well,
thing.
I think it's almost the difference between, like, when I'm watching Retro Raw, right, and I'm like, ugh, that gratuitous shot of Trish Stratus's boobs and, like, the cat fight at WrestleMania 2000, and that's the only representation of women that we get, and it's so frustrating to me, versus if I see nowadays, like, Zelina Vega looking really hot ringside and flaunting her assets, but she's also, like, a person who gets to do stuff, and there are also other women on the show who have other characters. Like, for me to get annoyed about the gratuitous boob shot of Trish Stratus is not uneducated, it's just built on, like, the surrounding factors too.
Yeah, no, but you know, I think that my point is more that, like, the problem sometimes with on Twitter, and I've found this as well, is that if you put, like, a status up about something, mm-hmm. it's gonna get shared, and, like, if in that status people don't know other stuff that you've said, then it's like I could say something negative about Sonny Kiss, for example, right? Like, say I said I didn't like a match or something, and people could come at me saying that I don't understand why it's important that he's there or whatever, not knowing that I've said
they're calling you a homophobe.
Yeah, but whereas not knowing that I've said, but that's not their fault, because if I'm just saying something and I'm not explaining it, and even in the thread that I'm doing it, then that's kind of where it is. So
right.
But you know, it worked for me. I think Lance Archer, I actually think it kind of helped here that Jake wasn't there. Because
I think so too. That was something I liked about it, because it really felt like Lance Archer was the star. Like, he looked like murder hot crazy person Lance Archer here, and Jake Roberts wasn't. I wouldn't say that Jake Roberts is, like, taking away from Lance Archer, but I do feel like Jake Roberts is, like, people want to see Jake Roberts, and oh yeah, Lance Archer is Jake Roberts' guy. I feel like here people got to see Lance Archer is a big bad killer man.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I I think they need to change his music immediately, because it does not fit with Murder Hawk Man. Like, it was like techno mid-2000s. But, like, I love his big red ponytail. I thought, you know, when he lifted Marco Stunt up at the end, and he was basically doing, like, a reverse Razor's Edge.
Yeah.
I thought he was just going to, like, drill his face in the mat. But when he did the flip thing, that was
but
cool.
But he did the flippy thing too.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. It was a nice twist. There was a video package on Jon Moxley and Jake Hager, and I'm strangely kind of into this match.
Into this match. Sign me up for it. I think it sounds great.
I like that Jericho kind of, in a roundabout way, explained why he's okay with it. Like, because in theory, like, should he not want the title back? But by him kind of saying, you know, now the Inner Circle's gonna have two champions. Like, that makes his faction look better. So that's
well, and
why.
Also it's that smarmy Jericho thing where he's so disillusioned that, like, he just creates his own reality around him, right? Because I think that deep down, of course, Chris Jericho wants to be the champion. Like, of course he wants to be the champion again. But he can say, no, we have this Inner Circle solidarity. We would never attack one another. We would never stab each other in the back, because a win for one of us is a win for all. You know he's being facetious. You know he's full of shit. But the fact that they have that, and then when you have a moment of someone in the Inner Circle turning on each other, it feels that much bigger.
Yeah, and I think they're building to that, so it was good stuff. We also had on the show the main event. We had Cody and Darby taking on Shawn Spears and Sammy Guevara. It was an exhibition match, and they played up kind of Cody and Darby not being on the best of terms, and when Shawn Spears and Sammy Guevara got the win, we saw Darby Allin deck Cody Rhodes at the end, so they kind of made you feel that the TNT tournament is like a big thing, and people really want to win that belt, and tensions are high. So, I mean, it wasn't the most exciting thing in the world, but I got why they did it.
It wasn't the most exciting thing in the world, but I think that they did fun things with it. And I think having the wrestlers at ringside betting on the match too was a lot of fun. I kind of liked those shenanigans. I liked that they were throwing money in the ring, and, you know, kind of it's continuing the weeks long tendency of them to be betting and maybe not necessarily paying attention to the action, but, like, getting in on the monetary value of what they can earn. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a fun extra little character thing to add to it. And I think it, you know, this exhibition match kind of leading to the tournament was nice. We didn't mention Colt Cabana was on commentary for Lance Archer versus Marco Stunt. How did you think he did on commentary?
I thought he was good. I mean, I'd never really heard his commentary in Ring of Honor, but now I know why he was a commentator in Ring of Honor. He was good. He put over his opponent, but while also making himself feel like a star, which is a hard balance to strike.
It's a hard thing to do, and I think it was kind of because Colt Cabana is facing Lance Archer in round one of the tournament, right? So he kept going like, okay, you know, like I'm rooting for Marco, but Lance Archer, like, he is big and bad and scary, but like I am also a wrestler. I kind of like the fact that he kept going, you know, I'm also a wrestler. Like, I'm not just a commentator. I'm not just the funny guy. Like, I'm going to use my comedy. I'm going to use my skills. I'm going to, you know, be valiant against Lance Archer. I mean, like, I don't think anyone in the world believes that Colt Cabana is going to beat Lance Archer, but like, it's really nice that Colt Cabana believes in himself. And I think he did well here. And same thing in the main event. I mean, it was kind of interesting. It made me go, ooh, when Darby Allin kind of attacked Cody after the match for, I guess, not saving him or, you know, not being a good enough partner and not helping him win for the team. And also Darby Allin is kind of a, you know, lone wolf kind of guy anyway. And he and Cody have had their issues in the past. So, you know, and Cody versus Darby Allin is going to be interesting because they do have a history. So I don't know. I liked it. I thought, again, it's hard to be super invested in something where it feels like it should probably be on pause. But I think that they're really doing the best with, like, the shitty situation they've been dealt. And I liked AEW. I liked AEW more than I liked NXT this week, for sure. Again, which tends to happen quite a bit. I wish that there were more women's stuff on the show.
Yeah, the women's stuff is, to me, is the main gripe. I mean, we did obviously see Hikaru Shida win a match, and I'm like, we don't know anything about her. Like, we don't, because AEW,
I preferred Hikaru Shida versus Annie Jay to a lot of the four ways they've been throwing out, because at least it was, this is building Hikaru Shida as more of a star. And I thought the match was good too. Like, I really liked, I'd never seen Annie Jay before, I don't think, maybe, unless I've seen her, like, in an enhancement match before. But I thought she did really, really well, and it was nice to see Hikaru Shida get a spotlight on her way to a championship match, I assume, with Nyla Rose.
Yeah, I thought Anna Jay was pretty good. I thought that, I mean, the only thing is that, like, as much as AEW say, you know, we are a sports-like presentation, in reality, it's character-based. Like, that's,
well, yeah,
really,
it's wrestling.
So for the women's division, the biggest character they've got right now is Britt Baker. Really? I mean, where's Nyla Rose been?
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, Britt Baker, like, eating sandwiches and throwing a shoe at Hikaru Shida was pretty funny.
We did see Brody Lee again, still kind of doing a bit of a Vince gimmick. I know that Finn had said he thought that could only really last short term. I was curious from you, as a big Brody Lee fan, do you think that that's something that does have legs to do for a while, or do you think that the Vince imitation stuff should kind of be taken away soon? Like, how do you feel about it?
I think it needs to morph into something else sooner rather than later. I think that the jokes are funny, like the sneezing and the yawning and stuff, but it's already, to me, starting to feel like, okay, this is becoming more of just a Vince McMahon parody than a fully formed, realized character on its own. And I think it's going to be a lot more helpful for Brody Lee to evolve this and turn it into something that's more him than just a Vince pastiche, I suppose, because I'm not interested in seeing a Vince McMahon parody on screen. Like, I am not interested in your Vince McMahon fan fiction. I am interested in seeing Brody Lee be a badass character and lead a Dark Order cult and recruit me. And I'm in Dark Order for life. Like, I love him. I still think he's doing very well. And I think the, you know, the tag match against 8 and 9 was just kind of funny to see. And then, like, Brody Lee just coming out and powerbombing whichever one it was, I think 8. You know, like, he's an interesting cult leader in that he tends to have people he doesn't really care about, but he wants to control them, but then he treats them badly. He really is Vince McMahon, isn't he?
I think the thing that's difficult is that Brody Lee, this character, really needs a crowd. Because,
yeah,
it's and I think that the problem is he's doing Vince McMahon shtick, which, don't get me wrong, I'm cool with. I will enjoy that stuff. I'm thinking for Brody Lee the performer, I think that he needs this to be a lot more than that. And
yeah,
also,
and I think he is better than just, like, silly scripted lines.
And also, I think he needs to, like, at some point, I think he needs to align himself with some bigger names.
Mm-hmm.
To just kind of get it going a little bit more. But
I kind of like him trying to recruit, you know, like, trying to recruit people who are bigger names, right?
Like,
they've gone after QT Marshall. But like going after QT Marshall and going after like Christopher Daniels before and that kind of stuff. I like that. And I think maybe if they go after, I still think that them trying to recruit Darby Allin is just like there for the taking. And what if Darby Allin joins the Dark Order and then like tries to take them down from within or something like that? You know, like, and I'm not saying it has to be Darby Allin, but you could have that sort of story happen. And I think it could be really interesting.
I thought we'd finish the podcast very quickly by talking about the greatest segment on all of Wednesday night on both shows, which was when Chris Jericho, from his palatial mansion, tried to get Vanguard 1 2.0 to join the Inner Circle, the small shirt, he released the hounds, this was...
The tiny dogs.
The best thing. So now, the newest thing is, he's gonna be shouting, release the hounds! And small, cute dogs are gonna come out. It is the best.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. Like, he is disgustingly good at his job. Like, how he really is in the conversation for best ever at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Like,
and like, it doesn't matter that whenever he has wrestling matches, they're very average. It doesn't matter. It's
no,
like,
it doesn't.
It's all about character work.
He's just, I loved this. I mean, he's still doing the whole, like, pour the little bit of the bubbly into the glass and then drinking out of the bottle, wearing leather trousers in a hot tub.
And then he said that Nick Jackson just had a baby. Oh, so good.
Just the whole thing. And then, I mean, he gave Vanguard 1 the shirt. I love that Vanguard 1 has a little hook on the bottom, you know, like to attach a camera to a drone or whatever. And he puts the little tiny shirt on it. And then I love that it's just so well shot too, because you see the shirt flapping in the wind as Vanguard 1 flies away and is filming it. And then he's like, little bastard stole my shirt. And it's like, but you gave it to him. But oh my gosh, this is just, oh, it was so funny. Every part of it was so funny and so perfect and so well done. And it's the kind of thing that if you don't have comedic timing, and if it could so easily go wrong, you know, like it could so easily just be stupid
called,
and flat and dumb. And it was perfect.
When he called Cody Exotic, ended me. But I think, again, AEW just continue to do a couple of things that just make them a much easier show to watch and a much more interesting show.
Well, it feels like AEW gets to breathe, you know? Like, AEW, they are throwing shit against the wall the same as WWE, but the difference is WWE has this rigid structure that they want to adhere to, whereas AEW is like, fuck it. We don't know what's going on. We're just going to put on a show as best we can and kind of adapt and grow and learn and change. And I think we're seeing what works and what connects with people.
Well, that is it for us. We're going to be back tomorrow on Patreon to do a little kind of WrestleMania preview on the Overrun. And then all weekend, we're going to be back on Sunday with the WrestleMania Night 1 reviews, on Monday with the WrestleMania Night 2 review. Retro will be back on Tuesday of next week. Tons of content coming your way. Thank you to everybody who's pledged. We have, you know, even at the end of the month, sometimes we have like pledgers drop off, and like today, every pledger has pledged back and like two more. So thank you for that.
That's so awesome. Thank you guys so much. Like, it, we keep saying it means the world. Like, words aren't really adequate to tell you that you are literally the only reason we can keep doing this, but like, that's really true.
It's lovely. So, under what are the plugs?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW and on at KennyMC1985. Follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes is where you can get all the bonus content that Kenny was just listing and more. YouTube.com/InsideTheRopes for video content, interviews from live shows, you know, back when wrestling was a thing that we could do with people. Go relive those memories. They're pretty great. And InsideTheRopes.co.uk is our website. You can go there and look at it.
You can look at it until there's something that we can do about it.
I don't want to say buy tickets for stuff because we don't know what's happening. But
no, we don't.
Thank you for your patience in these uncertain times.
To play us out, though, is basically a plug for our WrestleMania 2000 review on Patreon. Here is Ice-T with Pimpin' Ain't Easy. Where he uses the phrase, pimp or die, baby, pimp or die.
Pimpin' ain't easy, man.
So good.
For fuck's sake.
Bye, everybody.
This opens WrestleMania, by the way. If you don't listen to Retro and you aren't a Patreon subscriber, like, this is how they open WrestleMania. with this song. And then The Godfather and D'Lo Brown versus The Big Boss Man and Bull Buchanan. Finn and Kenny and I have plenty to say about this show.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Godfather's in the house. Grab your bitches. Pippin' ain't easy, man. Pippin' ain't easy, man. Pippin' ain't easy, man. Pippin' ain't easy, man. Take a look at me, everything I own's iced out. Pimp, baby, you can see my wrist with the lights out. This time I do it, mad bitches in clothes. Godfather, baby, on the plates of my rolls. Step back, hey, to make a little room for my hoes. Gators on my feet, take a look at my toes. Money is the reason all the real players know that. Godfather lays punks to rest. You got no chance up against the best. A rock's in the east and a rose in the west. If you don't dig the pimpin', I could really care less. Cause it's pimp or die, baby. Pimpin' ain't